Open up first to John chapter 14. Now, I've printed out a whole bunch of these verses, but I'm still going to have you look them up. I'm not just going to read them to you. In John chapter 14, now one of the things that we need to establish right off the bat, that's the fact that God can't lie. We've talked about this before, but you know, it's amazing how that in the lives of many Christians, they seem to demonstrate doubt about what God has said. And yet, if we're going to live this life the way that God expects, and the way we could, one thing that we have to get settled is the fact that God can't lie. Well, in John chapter 14, in verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now, this is a very... This verse it contains more than what is written, I guess is a good way to put that. Because Jesus said he was leaving his peace with us. And he said, it's not a peace that the world gives. Now what that tells us is that there are two different kinds of peace. One can be obtained here in this world. And yet the other does not come from this world. So Jesus is saying, look, you really have a choice here. You can exist in life with a kind of peace that can be obtained in the world, or you can live by my peace, because I'm leaving it with you. And he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Okay, now what does that tell us? Well, if he says, don't let your heart be troubled and don't let it be afraid, then that means the peace he's leaving counteracts that troubling and that fear. It means that the peace he's leaving is greater than troubling or fear. And where he says, you know, don't let it be troubled, don't worry, don't fret, you know, all those kinds of things. So he says, listen, don't do this. Now, how many of you felt like in your life that that's basically impossible? That, you know, worry is just a part of life? Well, according to what he says, I'm leaving you my peace, therefore don't let your heart be troubled, don't let it be afraid. What does that tell you? That, now listen to this. What it says is this: you, me, as Christians, we have control over our emotions. Whether you like it or not, you have control over your emotions. Jesus said, I leave this peace with you. Therefore, because you have access to this peace, you also have access to choosing not to let your heart be troubled, and don't be fearful. Don't be fretful. Don't get upset. You know, like that song a few years back, don't worry, be happy. Well, he's not saying be happy. He's saying you can live in this kind of peace. Now look over in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, take a look at one verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and in love, of love, and of a sound mind. Well, see, that ties right in with what Jesus said. I've given you my peace, therefore don't be troubled, don't be afraid. So if God's given us a spirit, or has not given us a spirit of fear, what's he given us? Well, Jesus said, I have left my peace with you. And it says that he's given us a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. Well, if your heart is fretful, troubled, and fearful, is your mind sound? No, it's not. Listen, you cannot think straight when you are overwhelmed with problems. I don't care who you are and what you think you think. You cannot think straight when you are letting circumstances and problems dictate the course of your life. And he says right here, he's given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Therefore, if we are operating by that peace that Jesus has given to us, we will have a sound mind. Meaning we're going to think clearly in every situation. Have you ever had things come up? Now, we're talking about in your life as a Christian. You ever had things come up to where maybe when it was over, you were talking to other people and you said something like, I just couldn't think clearly? Okay, now what does that say? You weren't being governed by peace at that time. Peace can sleep in the back of a boat in the midst of a storm while everybody else thinks you're going to die. Peace can be chained up in a prison facing execution the next day and lift its hands and begin to worship and praise the Lord. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Well, if He's not given us a spirit of fear, then why is it so many Christians are living in fear? Look over in Romans chapter 14. In Romans 14, look at verse 17. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, what does that tell us about the kingdom of God? Well, very simply, what it tells us is that in the kingdom of God, there is no fear, there is no stress, there is no worry, there is no troubling. None of those things exist in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, what do we have? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Those are characteristics of the atmosphere of the kingdom of God. Now, when we are born again, what's the Bible say? It says that we've been translated out of the power of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Therefore, we are citizens of that kingdom. Now, if we're citizens of that kingdom, what does that mean? Well, from a spiritual perspective, as God sees us, He sees us surrounded, immersed in an atmosphere of righteousness, peace, and joy. So if you were to go to God and say, you know, my life stinks. What do you think He's going to say to you? What life are you talking about? Now think. What are you going to answer? The life you gave me? Or the circumstances I'm living in? When you start saying something like, my life stinks, as a Christian now, when you say my life stinks, what you're saying is, I'm allowing myself to be governed and dictated by my circumstances. Because, guys, I'm here to tell you right now, the life that you got from God when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is not odoriferous. It does not stink. It's a wonderful life. Sound like a movie. You're not going to get a better life than the one you got from Jesus. Ever. It's a matter of what you're living. Are you living that kingdom life? I'm not talking about how many people are you raising from the dead. What I'm saying is, if you're living that kingdom life, you're living in the atmosphere of righteousness, joy, and peace. And if you're living in that atmosphere, you are not going to worry about anything. Now, I know some people could say, Brother Martin, you need to get a life. I mean, you know, you need to get your head out of the clouds and face the real world. You mean like Jesus? I don't see Him getting stressed out over anything. I see Him getting angry from time to time at the hypocrisy, but I don't see Him getting stressed out. I don't see Him worrying. I don't see any of that in Him. I don't see Him afraid. I don't see His heart troubled. What I see is Him living the kingdom of God before man and leaving us an example. Look over in Romans chapter, well, next chapter, chapter 15. And look at verse 13. It says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. What does that tell us about peace? It tells us that when we are operating and living in that atmosphere of peace, we are going to, he says here, abound in hope. What does that mean? When I'm living in that atmosphere of peace, I don't sit around worrying about what's going to happen next. Because when I'm in that atmosphere of peace and I know it, I'm swimming in that peace. I abound in hope. This kind of hope that he's talking about is not, gee, I sure hope something good happens today. It is the full realization and anticipation that something's going to work out. You don't know the details, but you know that something's going to work out. Because what's the key word in this? Look here. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing. See that? What's that mean? If you don't believe, then how much peace are you going to have? He will fill, you are going to overflow. It is going to ooze through your spiritual pores, all this peace, if you believe it. If you don't believe it, what are you going to focus on? The external, the circumstances, the problems. What's going on in your home, your home life? I mean, maybe not you, but somebody else, another Christian, stress in the home. There are a lot of Christians that don't want to go home because there's no peace. Okay? What's happening? In that situation, what is happening? Well, the husband's a bum. Okay. Or the wife's a bum. All right. Or they're both bums. I don't know. But what's happening? The victim, assuming they're Christians now, the victim is letting the circumstances dictate their response and their feelings to that lousy situation. Listen, guys, peace is not about liking what's happening. It's about living in another kingdom while what you don't like is going on around you. When you have that kind of peace, you're going to experience a greater level of God. I'm not talking about, you know, greater anointing to, you know, open the blind eyes. I'm just talking about experiencing Him. Let me show you another verse. In the same chapter, look in verse 33. It says, "Now the God of peace be with you all." He's the God of peace. We could rephrase this accurately and say, peace is God. God is peace. Because, now think, we can prove it. Is God worried? Is God afraid? Is God stressed out? Is He fearful? No, none of these things. God is peace and peace is God. Remember, Jesus said, "Peace I leave you." That means that the kind of peace He's talking about comes from somewhere else. Well, it's the God of peace. He, God, is peace. Therefore, the more we're experiencing that peace is the more we're experiencing Him. And the more we are experiencing Him is the more we are experiencing His peace. So you can't separate the peace of God from God. It's impossible. This is something that really, what motivated this message tonight was a computer situation at home. Computer situation had kind of gone on for a couple of days. And listen, I could tell that I have grown in peace. Seriously. Because, listen, back when we first got a computer, I can remember, oh my, when things would happen. No need to go into all of what happened, but I knew some way or somehow, I mean, this thing was going to work out. I knew it would. I just didn't know how. Well, I had peace in this, but I felt some of those feelings starting to rise up. And then some other things happened, and I felt those feelings, you know, starting to rise up. And I started talking to God about it, and I said, that's it. You know, I'm not even going to deal with this anymore. I'm not talking about sweeping an issue under the rug. Or, you know, things that need to be done, just, you know, tossing it out the window and not dealing with it. When I told God I'm not going to deal with it anymore, what I meant was, I'm not going to sit down and look at this thing and let it eat at me. You know why? It's because I don't have to. That doesn't mean it went away. It just means it's not controlling my life anymore. And it's not controlling my feelings anymore. My emotional response. Look, if you're called a pastor, you are going to have a lot of opportunities to lose your peace. And so, I began thinking about what I had experienced, and I thought, you know, I'm not, this is kind of an indictment on me, but I'm not walking in as much peace as I thought I was. Simply because I focused longer than I thought I would on the problem. Now, I didn't have the emotional reaction to it that I did years ago, but I focused on it more than I should have. Now, here's the thing. Somebody else might look at what I dealt with and think, I don't know what the problem is, Brother Martin. I mean, you didn't seem to be upset to me. I was upset enough till I recognized I was upset more than I needed to be, even though on the outside it may not have shown. I could feel it enough to know I'm not walking in as much peace as I need to. Yet I'm walking in a whole lot more than I used to. Believe me, I'm walking in a whole lot more than I used to. But this kind of peace that God's talking, He is the God of peace. Therefore, the more I'm in His presence and experiencing Him, the more that peace is going to be there for me. Now, look in Philippians chapter 4. I am firmly convinced that one of the greatest problems for most Christians, and when I say most, I mean most, ones I encounter, is the fact that they're not walking in peace. Peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is the absence of stress in the midst of the problem. Now, the more people, Christians, are stressed out about things. I mean, I heard somebody talking here a while back, and you know, there was a situation that was going on, and they were talking about how worried they were over this thing. And I didn't say anything, but I thought, you know, if you were walking in this kind of peace, you would not be worried like this. There's a difference between being concerned over a situation and being worried. God's concerned. You understand that. But He's not worried. And there are parents worrying about their kids. I mean, I've seen every now and then, I read Dear Abby. Not because I need the help, but because I just want to see, this is going to sound so mean, I just want to see how many nuts there are in the world. Because some of these people that write in with some of these problems, like, you know, you don't have to be an Einstein to figure out what to do in this. You know, are you serious? And when you're writing this letter, I mean, some of the things that come in, and there are a lot of people, Christians, that are worried about everything that goes on in their life. They're worried about their money situation. Why? Worried about their health. Why? Worried about this, worried about that, worried about the kids. I'm worried, you know, I've got these, you know, three little kids, they're all under the age of 10, and I'm just worried what's going to happen to them when they grow up. Well, you know, you can help the situation if you train your child in the way he should go. I mean, there are some things you can do. Worrying over your children is the worst thing you can do. You know why? Because that worry is going to cloud your judgment. And you're going to do things that you shouldn't do. Now, in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 4 it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and I say again, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand." Now this word moderation, it's talking about somebody who keeps their cool. All right, that's one way to describe it in modern vernacular. You can't do that if you're worked up over stuff. Now we're not going to ask for names, all right? But how many of you, as you sit there right now, you know of a Christian that their life is anything but moderation? Just continually, you know, day in, day out, or every other day, or, you know, the problem of the week, all right? You know, the crisis of the month club. It's just there's always something going on in their life, major or not. You know, you hit the wrong button on the remote, and it erases some of the memory, or you can't get the channels. It's, you just, you know, call somebody and this thing, get him out of the road, running in your back. Remember that guy on, remember that show, what was it, A Christmas Story? Was that it? That little Ralphie? And remember the guy next door that lived next door to that family? His name was Bumpus, and he had those dogs, remember that? And when the dad would always, he'd get upset and he'd yell, "Bumpus!" Well, don't you sometimes want to yell, "Bumpus?" And some Christians, their life is spent yelling, "Bumpus!" If you've never seen the movie, you don't have a clue what I am talking about. But it says here, let your moderation, in other words, let the testimony of your life be that you are walking in the atmosphere of the kingdom of God, which is love, joy, and peace. Be careful. Don't worry. Don't be worked up for anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. People that are worried are not rejoicing in God, and they're not doing verse 6. See, there's a difference between talking to God and letting Him know what you're facing and complaining to God about what He's letting you go through. Where are you, God? Why aren't you helping me? You're supposed to be here, remember? Never leave, never forsake. Remember that, God? And it says, and, verse 7, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And we've talked about this word keep in the past. This word keep, it's like a soldier, a heavily armed soldier standing guard, and nobody gets past. Nobody gets through. Nobody gets by. And he says, peace is going to be like a soldier, heavily armed. He'll guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. And worry won't get in. Stress won't get in. Strife won't get in. Upset won't get in. Bumpus won't get in. And then he kind of closes it off in verse 8, and he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are of a good report, whatsoever things are stressful, whatsoever things are worrisome, whatsoever things are fearful. That stuff's not in there. Those other things are. And it says, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. He's saying, listen, you got a choice on what you can think about. Now, if you're rejoicing in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, you're not going to be thinking about the fear. You're not going to be thinking about the problem. You're not going to be focusing on that. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you have ever been so worked up, fearful, stressed, mad, angry, worried about something you didn't even want to come to church on a Sunday? And then, in some cases, stayed home.
Well, I'm just going to stay home. Maybe if you kill that.
Why? Well, you're definitely not doing Philippians chapter 4 here. Because if you were, you'd be here. Hey, have you ever figured out we need you? Seriously. This is not pastoral rhetoric. We need you. You know, I cannot touch everybody's life. I need you doing this sermon so that you can touch other people's lives. Now, I'm not going to get into it tonight, but if you go through and you study this thing of peace, you take a look at the opening salutations of many of the books in the New Testament. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. There is, and probably a whole other sermon, but there is an element of truth to the whole thing of literally prophesying or speaking peace into somebody's life. And Jesus talked about the apostles when they went out to minister, and he talked about speaking peace into a home. I mean, you can do this. This is one of the reasons why I need you doing this message, so that you can begin prophesying, speaking peace into somebody else's life. Now, you're going to change your circumstances, but when your words are anointed with this peace, and you begin to speak these words of peace into somebody else's life, it's going to have an impact. You ever been around somebody just talking to them made you feel better? See, that's what you can be in all of this. And he says, listen, you've got to control your thoughts. And he says, the peace of God, if you'll do this, then the peace of God, the result is, it's going to guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. The end result of this, in a manner of speaking, is going to be that some people are going to think you don't care about anything. I mean, they're going to think that you're not interested in troubles. That you're not interested. Well, you know, your kid just got arrested. Well, at least I know where he is. Don't you care? Well, I'm concerned, but I'm not worried. But he's in jail, which means he's not out on the street smoking dope, breaking into somebody's house like yours. Means he's sheltered. He's going to be clothed. He's going to be fed. He's going to be showered. As somebody with a big stick is going to be watching him all the time. Why should I worry? When you're not walking in peace, I'm telling you, everything that comes up is going to turn your life upside down. And you know what? You're going to start sooner or later. If you don't actually do it, you're going to come really close to blaming God for your problems.
Well, he could have stopped it if he wanted to. Well, he could have done this if he wanted to. He could have had this.
And God's saying, you know, have you ever considered I'm doing everything I can? And one thing I'm doing is filling you with all the peace I possibly can, as much as you're letting me. But you're not doing what I'm saying in my word. Look over in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Take a look at verse 33. There is no verse 33. John chapter 16. Sorry. You know, it's pretty bad when you have it written down and still misread and misread it. John chapter 16. Verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, what I want to point out is where he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Another way to look at this, not really going to reword it, but God's word has the ability, it is anointed. This word's anointed. I mean, you can rub your hands on it, you're not going to feel anything, but it is anointed. This word has the ability to help produce peace in your life. In fact, some places in Scripture, it's referred to as the gospel of peace. Now, the more you get into the Word of God, the more you're allowing, I'll say it this way, the more you get into the Word of God, the more you're allowing peace seeds to be sown. Because the power of God's Word is power to help produce peace in your life. Okay? Think about your own life. And maybe this doesn't apply to you, but I guarantee it applies to a lot of Christians. How many times have you been worried, depressed, upset about things to the point you didn't even want to read your Bible? And, and yet, the Bible is power to help produce peace in your life. Can you see how that if you let yourself be governed by circumstances in any way, shape, or form? Yeah, but the doctor gave a bad report. Okay? And what are you going to do about it? Oh, I don't know. I just got to do something, got to do something. Well, what's the Bible say you ought to do? I mean, you could pray, you could intercede, you can confess, have other people pray with you, and so on. But listen, your worry isn't going to heal that person. I mean, Jesus talked about which of you by taking thought can change the color of your hair. You're not. And so he says, I've spoken these things to you so that you can have peace. This is going to help you have peace. Look over in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We've taught on this before. Won't take time to teach on it in depth. But this word Spirit's not talking about the Holy Ghost. It's talking about your born-again spirit. Because when we get born again, we receive God's life. We receive that born-again spirit. We become citizens of the kingdom. As citizens of the kingdom of God, love, joy, and peace are a part of that. We're immersed in it. Whether we apply it or not, we're still immersed in it. That's a part of the kingdom we're in. Our born-again spirit has the capacity to produce in us the fullness of all the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance that we need in this life. And tonight we're talking about peace. So that means it doesn't matter what you're going through. And I'm not trying to belittle your situations. What I'm saying is, based on the Word of God, your born-again spirit, that new nature that's on the inside of you, it's like a reservoir of peace. And the more that we do what we can do to access this peace or to build up, you know, the seeds of peace, and I mean, all of these things, then what's going to happen is that peace begins to blossom, it begins to grow, it begins to flow on the inside of us so that when circumstances arise, you're going to have peace. It won't matter what it is. It won't matter if your husband is smarts off and mounts off at you, or your wife, she's, you know, makes obscene gestures at you. It won't matter if the kids, you know, come home drunk and naked. It won't matter. I'm not saying you won't get mad and upset. I mean, and that you won't. I'm not saying you like it. What I'm saying is you're going to have peace. Because if you listen, you know where you're going to hear the voice of God? It's not in the midst of worry. It's not in the midst of stress. It is not in the midst of fear. You are going to hear the voice of God in the midst of peace. Natural example. Remember the Old Testament? Who was that? Elijah? And God wasn't in the fire. God wasn't in the earthquake. And then, you know, still small. Yeah. See that? And that's an example. You're going to hear the voice of God in peace. How many times have you sat down to pray? Now listen to this. You sat down, I'm going to pray. Pastor Martin says I need to pray in the Spirit. I'm going to pray in tongues. Hallelujah. Bless God. I'm going to be holy and anointed. So you sit down and you start to pray. And what happens? The only thing you think about are the issues. And what can you do to make your husband change? What can you do to straighten those kids of mine out? And then after a while, about 5 minutes or less, you realize your lips aren't moving, but your mind's all worked up. And suddenly you don't feel like praying. You wouldn't want to punch somebody. I'll fix this situation. You just watch me. How do you call fire down from heaven? Your born-again spirit is the place out of which the peace of God flows. It doesn't flow from your mind. It flows out of your spirit. Look over in Colossians chapter 3. In verse 15, it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful." He says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Jesus said, I leave you my peace, therefore don't let your heart be troubled. And here we see, let the peace of God rule in your heart. What that means is we've got a choice in this. You know what? A major problem in this message is the fact that most Christians have never been taught to walk in peace. And what we see are examples before us of worry. We're talking in the body of Christ. Worry, people being upset, people that come up for prayer with the same problems all the time. Oh, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. Oh, please pray, please. Tears run down the face. Well, you know, I mean, you feel for them. But after a while, when it's the same thing all the time, it's like, you know, we're not going to belittle your situation, but you got to start walking in some peace here. Don't let your heart be troubled. Yeah, but you're not the one that got the diagnosis. Well, no, I'm not. But don't let your heart be troubled. It says here, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. I mean, let the peace of God be the authority in your heart. And when the peace of God is the authority in your heart, not only is it that well-armed soldier guarding your heart, but now it is the authority. It's in the throne of your heart, if you will. It's ruling, and it's watching over, and it's determining what will and will not pass through the gates of your emotions. And if there's a situation to where, you know, it can be very troubling, that peace won't change the situation, but that peace will tell the emotions that they can't rise up. It governs the emotions. It actually takes control. And see, here's the thing. You can get to the place where you're walking in this kind of peace to where you don't have to think about it. Meaning, oh, I can't believe what just happened. Now I've got to be in peace. Got to be in peace. Okay, got to be in peace. I'm in peace. I'm in peace. Oh, yeah, I'm in peace. Yeah, I'm in peace. At first, it can be like that. Because you are going to have to fight the emotions. But the thing is, because you're born again, that born again spirit has the potential for the release of that peace. That means it can get to the point to where it happens. It's just a state of existence. Look over in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. But let me rephrase this. To be kingdom of God minded is life and peace. Remember what it said in Philippians, think on these things, and the peace of God? Okay? Same kind of a thing here. Carnally minded. Well, let's just use it for this message tonight. Worldly minded, worldly focused, circumstance motivated, situation governed, natural things. He says, look, it's going to be death. But if you're spiritually minded, it's life and peace. And the more that you are kingdom-minded or spiritually minded, meaning the life of God that you have as a result of being born again, that is your thought process, if you will. You can't have anything but peace in that. That's the guaranteed result. Look over in Isaiah chapter 26, and you're going to see a variation of Romans chapter 8, verse 6. You know, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Well, in Isaiah chapter 26, look at verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now, what's interesting here, won't drag this out or you know, take it out too far, but he's drawing a distinct connection between strength and peace. And this is not physical strength. This is spiritual strength. Think of it this way. Your spirit becomes stronger than your emotions. And he says that God will keep him in perfect peace. What's interesting is that this phrase, perfect peace, in the Hebrew, it's literally peace, peace. In other words, it's like double portion peace. In other words, it's all the peace you'll ever need. There is nothing that is in greater measure than this peace. You know, think of it in terms of a measuring cup. One measuring cup will hold 8 ounces. The other measuring cup will hold 16 ounces. That means that 16-ounce measuring cup is always going to hold more than the 8-ounce measuring cup. And I don't care how much you try to put in that 8-ounce measuring cup. It will never equal the 16-ounce measuring cup. The 16-ounce measuring cup is your peace. It's always going to be greater, fuller, than your 8-ounce measuring cup of worry and stress. It can't compare. It will always overwhelm it. The thing is, he says, trust in him. I'll be in this peace, this double portion peace, when my mind is on him, when I think on these things. Once again, it comes back to, you know, what's going on the inside of us and the decisions that we make. And that I have to trust in him. And really, the whole thing of this peace, it really comes down to a trust issue. I mean, if we really trusted God that he's on the throne, really trusted Jesus that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, really trusted Jesus that he'll come through for us, really trust that the Holy Ghost is here to help us. I mean, if we really, honestly believe this, wouldn't we have peace? If we honestly believe that God was more powerful than the devil, wouldn't we have peace? I've talked to Christians before in the way that they have spoken of Satan. It's as though Satan and God are sitting on equal thrones. And how that the devil can do this and the devil can do that. Somebody once looked at me and said, you know, we're all just pawns in the devil's hand. I'm thinking, that's crazy. And it's, I mean, from a Christian saying this, that is not true. But see, that comes from somebody who doesn't understand. I mean, it doesn't mean they're bad people. They just don't understand. And yet, right here in God's Word, he says you've got to trust him. Those of you that are married, how many of you sleep better when your spouse is at home? Just because they're there. I mean, even if you had an argument and one of you is on the couch and the other is in the bedroom, it's like you still like it that they're there. You guys know what I'm talking about, those of you that have been married. And when they're not there, you know, you don't miss the arguing if there's been any, but I mean, you want them there. Well, that's because there's like an issue of trust. I mean, I feel better when Kathy's at home with me. Now, if anybody were to like break in the house, I don't know that she'd really be able to help protect me that much. You understand what I'm saying? Unless, you know, she had a frying pan or something like that. You understand what I mean? So it's not like I'm trusting her to protect me, yet I just feel better when she's there. Likewise, when I'm trusting God, I can feel good when she's not there. You understand? When I'm trusting God, all kinds of stuff can be going on. Boss can fire me and everybody else, and but I still have this peace. One of the things that's helped me in this area of peace, and I've shared this before in different situations, is the fact that I came to the conclusion that God knows everything that's going to happen before it happens, which means He's got a plan to help me somehow. Therefore, if I'm worried, I'm not going to sit long enough in His presence to even hear about that plan. But when I'm walking in peace, all kinds of bad things can happen, but I can just say, God, You knew this was going to happen. Now, You've got a plan, and I need to know what it is. So I just praise You, and I thank You. Right now, in fact, there have been times where, you know, my emotions have been kind of worked up over stuff, whatever it would be. I don't remember. But I'll go to Him, and I'll say, You know how I'm feeling right now. And I'll just be honest with you, by my feelings, I just kind of don't feel like worshiping at the moment, but I know I need to because I know this is the answer. I know this is going to help me, so I thank You. Though my emotions are telling me differently, I choose to thank You, to tell You that I love You. And you know what? I mean, it anymore, it's just like moments. And that peace, there it is. It's right there. No matter what's going on, that peace governs my emotions. And the situation does not overwhelm me. Look in, well, we've already looked at Isaiah. One of the things that you can do, as I mentioned, to begin accessing this peace and living in it, I mean, you're living in it now, but it's, you know, partaking of it, I guess is the way to put it. The Word of God, like we just said, His Word will help, like I mentioned, sow those seeds of peace in your life so that peace can grow. Praying in tongues will help. I mean, it talks about peace in the Holy Ghost. Praying in tongues absolutely will help. But there's something that will help even better than praying in tongues, and that's worship. There is something about private worship. I'm telling you guys, it is kind of like, I don't know what it's kind of like. It helps you access that peace quicker. And if there's one thing that I would want to encourage you with, as far as how do I get this kind of peace? How do I begin experiencing it more? How do I grow in this peace? Private worship absolutely is a key. Because when your mind is stayed on Him and you're focusing on Him, you get a fight sometimes. But when you force yourself to focus on Him, just begin to worship on Him. I mean, He is God. You are born again. You're not going to hell. You definitely have something to thank Him for. And so you begin to praise Him. You begin to worship Him. The more you do this, the more you are going to begin experiencing this peace, it'll start coming quicker and quicker and quicker, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of who you're fussing with, regardless of what the neighbors have done. I'm telling you, it works. Praying in tongues helps. The Word of God helps. Worship accelerates it, takes it to another level. It literally, it's like it creates an atmosphere of peace. Now I'm going to give you six points here. We're about done. About this kind of peace. Number one, this kind of peace is divine in origin, perfect in design, and eternal in existence. And I see some of you writing this down, so I'll say it again. This kind of peace, number one, is divine in origin, perfect in design, and eternal in existence. Divine in origin means it's coming from God. It doesn't come from in this world. There's no way. It is divine, it is holy in origin. It's perfect in design, which means there is nothing that can upset it. You say, but I get upset. You may get upset, but the peace of God cannot be controlled by circumstances. You can be controlled by circumstances, but the peace of God can't be controlled by circumstances. You can shut it down from operating in your life, but you're not going to eliminate the peace of God because it's divine in origin. It's perfect in design and it's eternal in existence. Number two, this kind of peace is the absence of stress in adverse circumstances. This kind of peace is the absence of stress in adverse circumstances. Number three, this kind of peace is incapable of being overpowered by problems. This kind of peace is incapable of being overpowered by problems. Our emotions can be overpowered, but remember, our emotions originate with us. They don't originate with God. So if we're being overwhelmed in our emotions by a problem, it isn't God's peace that's being overwhelmed. It's God's peace that we're pushing aside. Because it's there, whether you access it or not. Number four, this kind of peace is impossible to obtain through external change. Now here's what I mean. I just know if I can get rid of that husband of mine, I'd have peace in my life. No, you wouldn't. You'd just be facing another problem that has yet to grow and blossom. Well, I could just, those kids would move out. If those neighbors would leave, that pastor would resign, I'd have peace. No, this kind of peace is impossible to obtain through external change. So you can take the chess pieces of your life and move them all over the board if you want, but that does not usher in the peace of God. The peace of God comes from Him into your spirit. It doesn't pass through the external to the internal. It passes from the internal to the internal. Because it doesn't change the circumstances. What it does is govern you in the circumstances. Number five, this kind of peace never needs any kind of chemical assistance to calm the emotions.
I could just get my refill. I'd feel better.
No, you would be masking things by chemically altering your body's chemical balance. This kind of peace never needs any kind of chemical assistance to calm the emotions. Oh, I tell you right now, the job, everything just still. Boy, I tell you, a drink just sounds good right now. Why? That drink is going to do for you more than what God could? This is one of the reasons why a lot of Christians go back in the world, you know, to their drugs, to their alcohol, to their whatever. It's because they think that stuff is going to give to them what God has already said belongs to them. This kind of peace never needs any kind of chemical assistance to calm the emotions. All right, now let me throw a disclaimer. I do know that it is possible for the human body to have a chemical imbalance. I understand that. And in some cases, those imbalances are, the doctors try to treat them with drugs. All right? We're not here to talk about that tonight. But the thing is, there are a lot of Christians out there that are taking these psychotropic drugs to deal with depression. The peace of God is the greatest answer to depression you're ever going to find. You can be, I don't want to say too much, but I've heard testimonies by Christians how they felt like they were in the presence of devils and got all afraid. I'm thinking, there's no reason to be afraid of that. You know, with Jesus as our example, He faced Satan himself. Think about it. When devils acted up in front of Him, He just said, get out. When you're walking in that kind of peace, you can handle that kind of stuff. You can deal with it. Number six, this kind of peace is always available no matter what. It's always there. Always. My peace I leave with you. You have it. It's there. It's always available no matter what. Your life could fall apart, as they say. That peace is still there. Well, I'll have... How many of you remember that song? I like quartet music. Southern gospel quartet music. I mean, that harmony, and I like it. But some of the songs just don't line up with Scripture. And there'll be peace in the valley for me. Hallelujah. And they talk, some of these songs they sing, it's like, well, you might as well face it. You're going to be miserable, miserable here on earth. And ain't nothing going to be good till you get to heaven. So just plod through life, do the best you can, and wait for that trumpet to sound. And, you know, people, tears run down their face. Oh, hallelujah. Wave their little hankies. Bless them, Lord, bless them. And some of the stuff, I mean, I listen to it because that's some good tight harmony for a lousy song. Moving right along. The opposite of this peace is worry, fear, stress, confusion, depression, etc. and so forth. Your level of these things is a revelation of how much you're not seeking God. God's presence is a byproduct, or God's peace is a byproduct of His presence. Now, I know that sounds kind of harsh, but, I mean, truth is truth, guys. If you... Today was a good day, but yesterday... And the day before that, well, it's all right. And tomorrow, oh, I hope it's not like yesterday. I just don't know how much of this I can take. With me? You mean like Jesus? How much more He could take of being ridiculed and people trying to kill Him, standing up in the middle of His sermons and interrupting Him and accusing Him of being as being of Satan and so. I mean, He seemed to be able to handle things all right. And then He said, I'm leaving, but my peace I leave with you. Why, Jesus? You're going to need it. Because you can't get it in life. Not the world life. Spiritual life. The Christ life. You're going to need it. And it governs everything about you. And if you keep having up and down days, if you dread days to come, did Jesus dread going to the cross? Yeah, but for the joy that was set before Him, He endured it. Didn't like it, but He endured it. Here's the thing. If you want this peace, you can have it and live every day in it. God's Word, praying in the Spirit, worship. I mean, these three things, fasting, yeah, you can throw that in there too, but these other three things seem to really help in the area of peace tremendously. Especially the worship. And this peace, you can get to the place where you're not going to be stressed out. No matter who does what to you, it won't happen. And the more you spend time in God's presence, His peace is a byproduct of this. Now, you have to examine your own life. You know what you feel. We can all put on a happy face, can we not? But you know what you feel. And you know sometimes you feel like, you know, chewing nails. But, you know, you control yourself when you're around people, but on the inside, it's just like a hurricane going on. It doesn't have to be like that. The peace of God won't let that happen. Now, you know what you're going through, what you've been going through. Whether you're here tonight, you're listening to this somewhere, you know what's been going on in your life. Now, see, I can pray for you and I can lay hands on you and all this other, but I cannot impart to you a life of peace. Because that only comes out of your relationship with God. And the more you fellowship with Him, the more that peace is going to grow in your life. If you've been dealing with all these kinds of emotions, it's because, quite frankly, you're not doing what God's Word says so you can have this peace. Because remember, we opened this up tonight talking about the fact that God cannot lie. And Jesus said, I leave this peace with you. A peace that will govern every aspect of your emotions. A peace that will guard your heart and mind. A peace that will see you through no matter what you're encountering. In every situation, you can have this peace. You may not like everything, but you can still have this peace. And as you're walking in this peace, you're going to be hearing the voice of God more clearly to know what decisions to make in the adverse circumstances. How to respond. What to say, what not to say. The downside to this is the more you grow in it, the more you're going to be able to look back on your life and realize how many mistakes you made. The upside is this. God's mercies are new every day. Hallelujah. The power of God's peace will literally change your life.